Yo, what's going on? How are you? Good to be with you. Happy Monday. Sort of, kind of a victory Monday around these parts. I know a lot of our teams won this last weekend. One of them a little bit short yesterday. We'll certainly talk about that. A great game it certainly was between two teams that have certainly some playoff aspirations and maybe even some super aspirations. Maybe, before it's all said and done. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure on this Monday installment of the show. A lot to get to today. High school football, we'll take a look at the Friday Night Lights, and we'll also take a look at the 9-man and 11B playoff pairings. See what jumps off the page to us there. Talk about a couple of broadcasts that we actually already have officially pegged for us on a Thursday night. One regional, one local, if you will. I'll talk about all of that. Plus, Northern State was back in the mix this last weekend on the football side of things, swimming and diving, soccer and volleyball alike. Other than that, nothing's going on here today on FSA. That's our show for you on this Monday installment of the program. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure on FSA. Happy Monday, sir. How are you?
Doing all right, man. Doing good. Good weekend. Watched a lot of sports this weekend and back in the saddle here for sure. Doing good.
Yeah, you've got the rare Monday. I don't even call it rare anymore. Got another Monday night doubleheader with your Ravens in the mix here tonight,
right? It's funny. They're not even really promoting the other matchup at all.
Why would you?
If you didn't even know, if you were just like, oh, Monday night football tonight, you would have no idea that Chargers-Cardinals game is on. The only game they've been talking about is that Ravens-Bucks game, because I feel like that's the main one. Peyton and Eli are going to be on the Manning cast for that one. It's just like that other game's just there.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Detroit and Seattle game a couple weeks ago. What was it? Titans and Dolphins?
Yep.
It's like, what? Why is that in prime time? Make that the London game.
Yeah.
Make them play that game in Zimbabwe.
The London game.
Nobody cares. Yeah, I mean, geez Louise.
The London game was prime, though, yesterday morning. Jaguars, Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
Me?
What was it, a couple of 1-5 teams?
Yep.
Now we're talking. We're on to something here.
I'm all in for that.
Yeah, I will say, it's nice to watch them play that game on grass. Maybe this is a hot take, I don't care, but like, if I'm watching a game overseas, play it on grass. I mean, I want to watch more games in America on grass, too, but I mean, to me, if you're playing overseas, just play it on grass. I know that's a big deal over there with their soccer. I think that's like a, what is it, FIBA? No, not FIBA. FIBA's basketball. Is that FIFA? I think that's a FIFA rule, is you have to play on grass. So I think that's a beautiful thing. I want to watch a game that's played on grass. Call me old school.
Yeah, I'm cool with that, too.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, it was an interesting game there yesterday. Watched a little bit of that after I got home from Mass. And, again, I was just like you this last weekend, watching a lot of sports. I mean, I watched a lot of sports. Northern State football in the mix here as they are officially back to 500, downing SMSU. And also, just a nice night to not sweat it. You know, the first three games in this four-game winning streak for the Wolves were down to the nub, down to the wire, absolutely nip and tuck. What's going to happen? Here we go. And Winona, they just barely squeaked that one out, 30-24. Same sort of deal with Bemidji. Literally comes down to the final play on the two-point conversion. And then the week prior to that, again, literally coming down to the final play of the game, and Caruso hits the field goal. And it was just kind of like, oh, man, it's nice to just be in the driver's seat for a little while as the Wolves won on Saturday night 41-7.
I said that last week. They almost deserve a game like that considering how the last 3 weeks have gone with some last-second improbable wins. And they had a huge second quarter of the game and really just put Southwest to bed in the second half. And just a great effort from the guys. You know, that's one of those maybe trap games coming in, a team that hasn't won yet. And you coming off a huge win last week, how are you going to come on out? Great second quarter, really put them away, and where you're able to just kind of cruise to victory in that second half. Nice job from Northern.
And it's one thing that Mike Schmidt talked about in our pregame show, and talking Schmidt was, hey, we got to get off to a fast start. And coaches say that a lot, but to actually follow that up and really implement that is great to see. See how easy the game of football is, or any sport for that matter, when the players just do what the coach says. How fun is that, right? It's real easy.
It's real easy, plus it's easy when you're playing from ahead.
Yeah.
We've seen that with the Wolves the last 4 weeks on this win streak. They were playing with leads and just playing free. It's really cool to see, and this is an incredible turnaround that program's had from a month ago, for sure.
Yeah, my wife and I were on a walk yesterday with our dog and our daughter, and we were talking about this four-game winning streak, and she goes, well, what has it been? You know, how do you just turn it around? How do you just have a four-game winning streak? And I said, well, a lot of it was the fact that they kind of mixed up practice a little bit, went a little bit lighter, kind of dialed back, and just playing free and just kind of relaxing and having fun playing the game. I feel like when you are playing so tight and you're playing not to screw up, that's when you're going to screw up. It's the same thing with playing to like not get hurt. Like week 17, back in when it was used to be 17 weeks, it's like, oh, we got to rest starters, or now we want to play our guys. It's like, eh, if you play your starters, then they might get hurt. Like, that's what they're thinking about. They're thinking about not getting hurt. If you think about those sorts of things, you're probably going to get hurt. And if you think about, well, don't screw up, you're probably going to screw up. And they've just played so much more free and loose and fun. And you know what? When you play like that, good things are going to happen for you.
I totally agree with you. I think also a lot of guys in new positions, possibly a lot of newness to this team. You had a lot of guys last year that have been there, done that, so they had to find their roles coming up this year. And I think a guy like Jordan Hine, he just had to settle into the game plan a little bit. And sometimes when you're 0-2 and you go into that 0-3 game versus Minot State, you're like, we have to win this game. We don't want to mess this up. And it, you know, they ended up losing that game, but they bounced back 2 weeks later at home versus Winona State. I kind of just throw out that Augustana game, just considering the fact that Mike Schmidt even said we just didn't play well. But since that moment, they geared up, and this win streak has been nothing short of spectacular. And it's from the top to the players to everybody involved with the program. They're all, it's all buy-in, and you're seeing that on the field on a weekly basis.
And we'll talk about that game certainly at length later on in the program. A 41-7 victory for the Wolves of NSU, and pretty much where they're at right now is where they were at last year, a big win on Saturday night in this blackout cancer matchup against SMSU. Of course, this last Saturday, last year they beat, of course, Wayne 28-26, great comeback fashion win. And then you got to go on the road against CSP. And they kind of laid an egg there in the Twin Cities, although they only lost by six. They just didn't really play well. Same scenario coming up this week. They've got to take on CSP. I think that's going to be a really, really fun game. Two really solid teams. Don't be fooled. Concordia St. Paul is 2-5. They are not your standard 2-5 football team. They really were so close against Moorhead there on Saturday. Moorhead beat CSP 34-31, but Jalen Richardson, he might be the best running back, or pretty close to, in this conference. 36 carries for 198 yards and two scores. He ran all over the Dragons there on Saturday. Moorhead even had a 4th-and-10 they picked up on the final drive, so CSP is literally a play or two away from winning that game. And, of course, we know what Moorhead's done this season. They beat Augie earlier on this year. And Jack Strand, his arm, again, probably going to fall off. He had 55 pass attempts, completed 35. But this is not going to be an easy matchup for the Wolves on Saturday at all.
I agree. They're going to have to stop the run just for this, an early key with that guy running the football. But if I remember correctly, Tukes, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they did, I feel like CSP, didn't they dominate the time of possession of that game?
They did.
Like the whole third quarter, they had the football.
Game felt like it was like 20 minutes long, literally.
So they're going to have to be able to get off the field on third down and be able to give your offense some opportunities to score a little bit more than they did last year. And, you know, this is one of those games that you're going to have to bring your A game, because you mentioned it, 2-5, kind of throw out the record with how they're playing right now.
Yeah, CSP is really, really solid, and it's a tough place to go and play. Again, another 12 o'clock kickoff, just like Duluth was, so got to get ready for that one. We'll talk about that coming up later on in the program. He is Matt McClure, we call him
Mr. Unlimited.
Let's get to the jump here on FSA. And hey, speaking of Mr. Unlimited, last night, he looked pretty good as the Steelers beat the Jets.
Had the most career passing yards in a debut for a Steeler.
Is that right?
264 yards was the most in a debut as a Steeler. Couldn't believe that.
I feel like that's kind of a low number.
Yeah.
I would have guessed maybe Big Ben.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. They put up the stat on the screen. I'm like, is that right? It was right. That's pretty crazy. But it took him a while to get settled in. But once he did, man, he really played well.
Yeah, I went to bed around 9 o'clock last night, so I didn't watch much of the second half. And the Jets were kind of in the driver's seat. It was 15-6, and here we go, and the whole season's about to get turned around here a little bit. And I woke up this morning and I saw the final score. I was like, whoa, what the heck happened there?
Well, what happened was they had a 15-6 lead with the ball under 3 minutes left, and Rodgers tried to force a pass the defensive back made a great play, intercepted it.
Yeah.
And after that, it was just downhill for the New York Jets. I think the Steelers ended up scoring 31 unanswered. They had another turnover in the third quarter. Garrett Wilson, ball hits him right in the numbers. He drops it. Ball goes in the air. And the DB who intercepted him earlier picks that one off, runs it all the way to the one, and they scored again 23-15. After that, game over. Jets didn't do anything.
2-5. The Jets are 2-5. It's pretty hard to believe for a team that had some serious expectations this year from both of us.
I heard somebody talking about it this morning. The Jets are a bunch of players. Like, they got a they're a bunch of roster guys, but they're not a team.
Right.
Like, they got a really nice team roster, but they're not playing as a team. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I can kind of see that. They got a lot of hot names, sexy names with Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and Rodgers, but they're just not playing as a team. And I found that pretty interesting that somebody said that. I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're right. That's the way I kind of look at it.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. You know, Sauce Gardner, add him in the mix there as well. And C.J. Mosley, it's a team with a lot of really good individuals, but just not really quite the team. And I saw this on social media this morning, kind of got a chuckle out of it, as the Jets are basically a Randall Cobb away from turning this thing around. I said, why stop there? Can we get Donald Driver and Jordy Nelson out of retirement too?
Hey, like Greg Jennings, you want to give him a call?
What's Jeremichael Finley up to? I don't know. I mean, I know he had to retire because he had a neck problem, but I mean,
Grant still available?
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, get Amon Green out there too. I know that was a little bit before Aaron Rodgers' time, but... yeah, it's just been...
Who's the running back named Starks? I forget his
name. Max Starks.
Yeah, Mac, get him in there. See if you can turn it around.
What about Eddie Lacy?
Oh, that's a good name. Get all those guys in there. That'll turn them around.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. When the Seahawks went from beast mode, Marshawn Lynch, they actually signed Eddie Lacy a couple years after Marshawn
left. I remember that.
We were calling him feast mode. They went from beast mode to feast mode. Eddie likes to eat.
Yeah, he does. He was a big guy. He was really... I think everybody thought he was going to be the next Derrick Henry.
He just
never really turned. He was okay his first couple of years there, and then the weight got a little bit out of control, and next thing you know, he's out of the league.
Yeah, yeah. What could have been, for sure. Well, we talk about the Vikings, and they had a tough luck loss there at home against the Lions, but I was high on the Vikings, and I still am, don't get me wrong. They lost a really close game against arguably the best team in football, certainly the NFC. I mean, the Vikings are right there too. But before yesterday... teams that were undefeated, 5-0 or better, playing at home and coming off of a bye, just like the Vikings were 9-0 all-time and had won by an average of 19.8 points per game. The Vikings are the first team to lose after that, and that's pretty wild, but, I mean, I don't know how many of those nine teams are playing potential Super Bowl teams after that, that bye, but... you know, the Lions and Vikings, I think we're going to see these two teams play each other again later on. Not just saying in the regular season, wouldn't be surprised to see these two teams meet in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was a great game on Sunday. I know Vikings fans probably disappointed with how it ended, but yeah, two big-time teams in the NFC North, and I think they are the best in all of the NFL. I really liked what Brian Flores did to start the game. They try to fake punt it, and they get it stopped. They go down, they score, you're up 10-0. But we've seen this a couple times now with the Vikings. When they get the early lead, they allow teams to come back.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a problem moving forward. You're going to have to be able to put a teams away. You knew Detroit was going to bounce back with how they started the game. But I give a lot of credit to Sam Darnold. Didn't have the greatest start to the game, but he played well. Obviously, the Vikings take the lead with that defensive turnover. They get the strip on David Montgomery, but I think the Vikings, tough loss, but there's a lot of positives to take away moving forward because you could have definitely laid an egg after the bye week. You got Detroit coming in after a huge win versus Dallas. I liked how the Vikings played. I think they're going to be fine moving forward. I really do.
Yeah, I think so. There's no two ways about it. And for me... how about Jared Goff?
This dude's unbelievable.
I mean, he's putting up some really, really good numbers, and he's not your typical... let me rephrase. He's not doing it the way Jack Strand is doing it in Moorhead.
Oh, no.
But if he needs to, he can. He had a game earlier on this season, although, albeit in a loss, he threw it 55 times and completed 34 for 307 yards. But, I mean, listen to this. 18 for 18. 18 for 25, Yesterday, he was 22 for 25. I mean, his completion percentage is through the roof. And he's, oh, by the way, not turning the ball over. That's the biggest thing. Two touchdown passes against the Seahawks, three against Dallas and Big D, then two yesterday. He's just not putting the ball in harm's way.
Yeah, he's really efficient, and I think it has a lot to say about that offensive line and the run game because it's setting up the pass, and they have guys that just get wide open. You look at the receivers they got. Amon-Ra St. Brown is unbelievable. They got that great tight end. They flip it to the running back out of the backfield with Jahmyr Gibbs. By the way, remember we were talking about Jahmyr Gibbs. He had an F? The Lions.
Lions draft.
Yeah, he was a part of that F draft grade. He's turned out to be pretty good, as well as their linebacker, Jack Campbell, who was also in that draft, who's pretty good as well. But to your point, Jared Goff, I mean, I was thinking about this yesterday. I think he's the MVP through 6 weeks. Just the efficiency with the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
22 of 25, are you kidding me? 18 of 18. The guy is unbelievable right now. I think right now, he's the MVP.
And I think it also speaks to, you talk about receivers are always open, speaks to the scheme too. Ben Johnson's doing a really good job as the OC.
Yeah, he is, and I think he's going to get a head coaching job at some point. And I was thinking about this as well. Is the offense going to be, because he's going to leave after the season, I think. Just that's my opinion on it. He's going to want a head coaching job somewhere. There's going to be a million open after the season. So when he leads, is that offense still going to be as good? That's something I think about. And I think the Lions right now, like, this is the year they got to go and get to a Super Bowl, I think. The NFC kind of, to me, is down a little bit. It's there for the taking. The 49ers aren't great. They got beat up by the Chiefs. I'm not sold on this Eagles team. And the Vikings, they're kind of one of those surprise teams that you already beat. I like the Lions a lot in the NFC right now.
Chiefs are going to win it again, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yep.
I think so, too.
I mean, Mahomes yesterday,
he looked terrible.
150 yards.
Multiple interceptions.
Multiple picks. And it's not
they win
even
by multiple
a
scores.
Sweat.
Yeah.
Not even a sweat in the game.
They're going to win it again. They're so going to win it again.
They are.
And Mahomes has looked, through the first six games, very, very, very average. And, oh, by the way, they're winning by multiple scores. I mean, what are we doing? Can we just fast forward to February where they can hoist that crown again? Oh, man.
Just the easiest 6-0.
I know. It's crazy. They make it look so easy, for sure. All right, coming up next around these parts, we're talking some high school news and notes. We'll take a look at the Friday night lights that were and preview the matchups that are officially on the docket, 9AA, single A, and 9B, and 11B. That is all ready to go. We'll talk about the regional matchups there of note. All of that and more is coming up next on The Hub. Happy Monday. It's the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Tomorrow, a Wolves midweek. Looking forward to that. Just kidding. Tomorrow is a Wings weekly. Excuse me. Getting ahead of myself. Wednesday is a Wolves midweek around these parts. Got to bring in Schmitty again, I guess, huh?
We got to. We have to.
I got to shoot him a text here this week. But he'll be joining us, I would imagine. And also Nate Davis, he'll be here as well to talk about that big matchup on Monday at the Aberdeen Civic Arena as the Wolves bring in the Trojans and the Blue Hawks from Dakota State and Dickinson, respectively. That's 1 week from today, the official start for basketball season. How about them apples?
Yeah, starting it at the Aberdeen Civic Arena, man. Exhibition matchup there on Monday. It's going to be pretty fun, and looking forward to having Nate Davis talking about kind of what went into that and promoting that a little bit. Throwback night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm all about that life. Looking forward to it. High school football from Friday night. The lights were shining down on three of our broadcasts, and two of them were very, very lopsided. Well, actually, technically all three of them if you look at the final score. But Aberdeen Roncalli, they made it look easy over Sisseton, a 50-burger for them, a mercy rule finish in that one. Aiden Fisher with four touchdowns, three passing, one rushing. As Roncalli, they are officially in the postseason with a 6-2 record and the 7 seed in Class 11B. And their first round matchup is Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central. And I tell you what, that's a 7 versus 10 pairing. More often than not, those 7 versus 10 pairings are kind of toss-up games, and I'm looking forward to this one on Thursday night.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Those 7-10s, I mean, both these teams finished the year 6-2. This is going to be a very tight, contested game. Aberdeen Roncalli will have the home field advantage at Dakota Bank Stadium, being that seventh seed. But you see it a lot, those 8-9, 7-10, even 6-11. Mm-hmm. Those are really competitive matchups to start round one. It makes for an interesting game there for Roncalli, because they, you know, scored 50 points versus Sisseton in the finale. They played well to end the year. They had that hiccup a little bit versus Groton, but I think they're going to be ready to go. That should be a great matchup there Thursday night, and having that matchup at home I think is huge for the Cavaliers.
Both of those games that Roncalli has lost this season, I've been by about that much. I mean, you lose 2-0 against Clark Willow Lake the first game of the season, and then you lose in double overtime to Groton. I mean, this is a team that's literally just a couple plays here and there from being 8-0. And I get it. You can say that about a lot of teams. Oh, if we would have done this play and this, that, and the third. But, I mean, they're a 6-2 squad that is very, very solid indeed. I feel like their offense hasn't exactly been where they'd like it to be this season. Their defense has been, certainly. And they've got a big task at hand, because Woonsocket, Westington, Springs, Sanborn Central, their quarterback is a guy that's going to be playing at Dakota Bank Stadium in the not-too-distant future. Holden Havlick has verbally committed to NSU. So this will be his first taste of the Bank coming up on Thursday night. Kind of cool.
And Woonsocket, Westington, Springs, Sanborn Central, they've had a good schedule this year. They played Winter tough. It was 30-18 back on Friday, the 20th of September. Winter's obviously 8-0, and they're the number two seed of this thing. Actually, the winner of this matchup between Woonsocket, Westington Springs, and Roncalli is going to play the winner of Winter and whoever they play.
A lot of winners out there.
Yeah. But I think you look at that, they also played Mount Vernon Plankinton, who was 6-2. They lost that matchup 22-20. They beat Bridgewater Emory Ethan to start the year, who's 5-3. They've had a good schedule, and this is an offense that puts up a good amount of points. So I think you're going to see Aberdeen Roncalli's defense up to the test. That's going to be the challenge, that quarterback that you talked about for the Blackhawks versus Roncalli's defense. I'm looking forward to that matchup.
Yeah, this is not going to be an easy affair for Roncalli. If you just think, oh, we're playing at home, first round of the playoffs, so we're going to breeze through this one. No, no, this is going to be a nip-and-tuck affair, I think, and should be a really good one for sure after Roncalli's 50-0 victory there this last Friday up in Roberts County. And another breeze for an 11-AAA, this time over an 11-AA, as Sioux Falls Lincoln was all over Aberdeen Central, 53-2. Brody Schaefer, 15-22 passing, 150 yards and four scores. I listened to the majority of this first half on the radio, Matt, and I was just like, can Central just get something going offensively just to keep their offense off the field? And a couple of early turnovers, and it was curtains early.
Yeah, it really was. Bowman got intercepted on a tip pass at the line of scrimmage by the nose tackle of Sioux Falls Lincoln. Pick six, next possession, another interception, and Lincoln goes in, scores right away. Lincoln's the real deal. Brody Schaefer's the real deal. He just looks so calm back there. I mean, he's a sophomore, and he's controlling things at the line of scrimmage. Obviously, he's able to just have so much freedom with the players that he has. I mean, big-time effort from Sioux Falls Lincoln. And Central, I'll tell you what, they battled in that second quarter. If you look at just the second quarter, it was 3-2. So they got a stop there at the end, forced Sioux Falls Lincoln for a field goal. They were able to move the ball a little bit. They just have struggled this year, and Eagle Eye Cy talked about it at the half. They've struggled to finish drives. They move the ball in between the 20s, and they stall in the goal line. They get a fourth and long or a third and long. They're driving, driving, driving. They get a negative play or a penalty, and it puts them behind the sticks. And next thing you know, you go for it, turnover on downs or whatever it may be, a turnover. And that's been the real Achilles heel for this team. I think the defense is really good. They had great moments of it, even against the AAA school. You look at the final score and say 53-32. What are you talking about? This team had moments defensively. I think it's just going to have to come all together offensively if they really want to make a run in 11-AA.
Well, they're going to wrap up their regular season upcoming this Thursday night as they'll take on Watertown. That'll be in Watertown, and that'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff. I think this was originally slated for a 6 o'clock kickoff, but that matchup has been changed in terms of timing there.
Yeah, I think they're doing something because it's the last season at the Watertown Stadium. So they originally had the game at 6. They moved it back to 7. Because of the last regular season game at the Watertown Stadium.
Yeah, that makes sense. By the way, I was just thinking about this the other day. I tweeted out that aesthetic of the baseball field, you just don't see that very often.
Nope.
You know what would be really cool, and I don't think this would ever happen. I'll never say never. But, you know, if you're going to make a brand new complex with brand new turf, can you, like, make the baseball aesthetic as part of the turf? Like, to fake it? You know, just change the color of the grass. Make it look like it's a baseball field, you know?
I don't know how they'd do that. That would be pretty cool.
Like, why not?
And might as well. You had it.
It's there.
It's there. Just give it a try. I think that would be really cool. I don't know how you could do it with turf.
Yeah.
But, well, hey.
I mean, there's regular baseball games played on field turf now
anyway. Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, just why not make that aesthetic again on field turf?
I'm here for it.
I'm here for that. I'd be all in for that. I think it'd be kind of a cool deal. And people everywhere.
Instead of having just like all blue fields or red fields sometimes with the, you know, when they're trying to make it different turfs,
mm-hmm.
have like just a, have a baseball turf with a football field.
Yeah.
You could definitely make that.
You could absolutely make it happen. Why not? Go for it. I think it'd be kind of cool. All right. Elsewhere, you had Warner defeat Leola Frederick 21-0. It was a pretty close game, and you say 21-0, they just didn't get anything going offensively. Yes, while that's true, Leola Frederick's defense, they just kind of got big played to death. There were a couple of big plays in the passing game. Drew Bakeberg, 6 of 8 passing, 155 yards and 2 scores. I get it. Hunter Kramer is no longer there, but Josiah Baum is rapidly becoming like the reincarnation of Hunter Kramer, because he's Mr. Big Play, and he had four receptions for 135 and 2 scores, 90 yards on 17 carries and a touchdown. Also had 9 tackles on defense. He's looking pretty good.
Yeah, we said that as a key to the game for Leola Frederick, be able to try to limit him with the big play, and they just were unable to do it. 4 receptions, 135 yards, but he does a lot of damage on the ground as well. He's physical, and just watching a little bit of this game, I thought Warner's physicality was the difference of the game. Their defense, their offensive line, they really took it to Leola Frederick. Frederick had some chances, but they just were unable to pick up some, you know, third downs, a couple fourth downs in there as well, and you got to give credit to this Warner team. They are very physical, and if you don't match it, you're going to be in trouble. And that's what happened there to, I think, Leola Frederick on Friday night.
Another matchup that we really were looking forward to was Hamlin against Elkton Lake Benton. And we're like, can we just get to this game already? And finally it was here, and it was as good as advertised. Hamlin wins it 40-35 there late. Jackson Wadsworth, a touchdown pass on 19 attempts, 13 completions for 170. Mason Trowbridge, 87 yards on the ground. Colt Beck had 2 touchdowns on the ground. And he had a nice day through the air, but just Hamlin just made that one final stop, and the broadcasters were saying, hey, whoever gets the ball last is probably going to win this thing. And Elkton Lake Benton did have it last, but Hamlin's defense just made a couple of stops, and that was it.
Yeah,
great game.
It really was a great game. Was kind of watching this game a little bit as I was broadcasting, just seeing the score and high-scoring game. We thought Hamlin was going to be able to score points, and they had a schedule this year that's been kind of down when you look at the records of the teams they played, and this was a big test on the road at Elkton Lake Benton. They stepped up to the challenge. They had that stop there at the end of the game, and I think that was a huge confidence booster win for that team moving forward. I think they were already confident going in, but now you got playoffs coming up. You just beat a really solid team on the road. I feel like you think to yourself, hey, we can beat anybody after a matchup like that.
Yeah, if there was ever any doubt within your head, like, yeah, we've beat up on some cupcakes this season, and we really got to prove it against somebody good. Well, they just did that. So if there was any doubt, and I don't think there was much, but if there was any, they just took care of business there. Super random matchup, Groton taking on Baltic. That was kind of random, as that's a long ways to go for Baltic. But 37-0, Corbin Cucker, 5 of 11 passing, a touchdown for him. Also had a touchdown on the ground, 97 yards on 12 carries, an 85-yard touchdown romp. Also had a pick on D. Brevin Flees with a pair of interceptions, along with a pick six. Also, you had Falkton all over Northwestern, 56-6, and Ipswich was all over North Central, 58-6 there as well. Check out HubCityRadio.com for full details with the Friday Night Lights. Another matchup that we got to hit on very, very quick, like before we take a look at the playoff action for this upcoming Thursday. Talk about Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, and Sanborn Central. They just barely fell to MVP 22-20 there on Friday night. So they were certainly battle-tested and have been all season, talking about that squad there. But matchups of note in nine-man football, Let's take a look at the pairings of regional significance, if you will. In 9AA, that's where we're going to start off. Leola Frederick, they are going to host Kimball White Lake. Hamlin, the number 2 seed, they will bring in the 15 seed of Wabe Summit. Viborg Hurley is the 7 seed. They'll host Britton Hecla. That's the 7 versus 10 pairing. Elkton Lake Benton, they'll be hosting GPL in the 3 versus 14 pairing. And I will throw DeSmet in there, too. They're sort of within the region. Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy, they're the 5. They'll take on the 12 seed of DeSmet. Anything in particular kind of jump off the page to you there in 9AA?
I think Leola Frederick, Kimball White Lake is going to be a fantastic first-round matchup there. I think Leola Frederick, I think both these teams match up pretty well. I think this is going to be a very tight game, going to come down to the final moments just with how Kimball White Lakes look this year. I think that could be a really fun matchup. And also, you don't want to sleep on what Britton Hecla has been able to do. They started the year 0-2, and they've rattled off 6 straight. They go on the road at Viborg Hurley. This is a team that's made the playoffs now a couple times. They want to get that taste of possibly winning in the playoffs, and they're going to have to go on the road versus a tough Viborg team. But I think those are the two matchups I got highlighted.
I'm right there with you. Didn't mean to jump on you there. But, what they have been doing offensively is bananas. Talking about Britton Hecla, last 3 games, 49, 71, and 50. Now, granted, the teams they beat are not necessarily, your Hamlins, but still, putting up those many points is pretty wild. So I'm right there with you. I think those are 2 pretty good games there. In 9A, you've got 9 versus 8, Castlewood on the road at Alcester Hudson's place. Woolsey Wessington hosts Lemon McIntosh in the 4 versus 13 pairing. The 7 versus 10 is Ipswich hosting Esteline Hendricks. And the 3 versus 14 pairing is where we will be. Warner is playing host to Gayville Valin. That's the 3 versus 14 pairing. These are all Thursday night, 7 o'clock kickoffs. Ryan Martin on the call there for Warner versus Gayville Valin.
Yeah, I think the matchup I really am looking forward to is Ipswich and Esteline Hendricks, that 10-7. Ipswich has had a great end of the season here. They are 6-2, but Esteline Hendricks, a 4-4, pretty a feisty little team here in Esteline Hendricks. Just looking at who they played this year, Woolsey Wessington to start the year. Well, that was a tight game, 38-22. They played Howard probably tough. I mean, you look at the score, 35-8. That's pretty tough considering what Howard's been able to do. They've lost the last couple games, though, to Castlewood and DeSmet, so you've got to think this team's going to be hungry for a win. I like that matchup a lot, and Ipswich has really been playing good. I'm surprised they were already there at 7. I thought they might be a little bit higher.
And Esteline Hendricks losing at home to DeSmet, like you mentioned, they got ran over by Slayton Wilkinson for 188 yards and 3 scores. Now, Ipswich isn't really a ground-and-pound team. I mean, they can if they want to, but I think Coach Hoagie would like to have Max Kulesa throw it a handful of times there, too. So, I mean, it's kind of a different style matchup in that first-round game with Ipswich and Esteline Hendricks. So I'll be kind of curious to see how that all works out in the first round there. And in 9B, again, regionally, you've got Corsica Stickney. They're the number 4 seed. They'll be hosting the 13 of Harriet Selby. 5 versus 12 is Sully Buttes hosting Arlington. Falkton is the number 2 seed. They'll bring in Sunshine Bible. 7 versus 10 is Hitchcock Tulare hosting Coleman Egan. Again, those are the regional matchups of note. You can check out the full bracket on our website, hubcityradio.com. And I know, I think by and large, you probably have the higher seed, or I guess higher seeds, like the 4, 5s and 2s and 7s, probably in theory, the teams that you're looking towards perhaps winning those games. We'll see. But I will say, I'm just a big shout out to Sunshine Bible, just making the playoffs. I mean, if we're being honest, they've been kind of a punchline for a lot of years. And the fact that they're actually in the playoffs now, congratulations. Now you got to play Falkton. That's going to be pretty tough for them. But just the fact that they're in is pretty cool.
Yeah, 2 wins for them. And, they played Hitchcock Tulare pretty tough this year, 22-14. They've struggled the last 2 games versus Corsica Stickney and Sully Buttes. But, hey, making the playoffs, taking that next step as a program, that's huge for those kids, playing in a playoff atmosphere like that.
Getting that culture kind of set up. 11B. Matchups of note within the region. Number 1 is Sioux Valley. They'll be hosting the 16 seed of Dual. MCM will host Mobridge Pollock. That could be a sneaky good matchup. 5 versus 12, Clark Willow Lake against Bridgewater Emery Ethan. Ooh la la. Aberdeen Roncalli brings in Woonsocket Wessington Springs Sanborn Central. Already talked about that. And the 6 versus 11 is a long, long road trip for St. Tommy. They got to come all the way east to take on Groton. And that's a long road trip there for the Cavaliers taking on the Tigers. That's St. Tommy against Groton. And all those matchups are looking really good in 11B.
I agree. 8-9, 12-5, 10-7, and 11-6. I think all those matchups could be one possession or really close going into the second half. I like that Bridgewater, Emory, Ethan Clark, Willow Lake matchup a lot.
I do too.
I think that could be a really sneaky, good, tight game. We talked with head coach Severson of Clark Willow Lake. They got a big win versus Webster to wrap up the season. This is a team that's really taken a step this year. Can you take the next step and win in the playoffs? So I like this 11B slate a lot.
I do too. I'm right there with you. I think that's going to be a very, very good slate of ball games for sure. Again, it's all on Thursday night, and looking forward to that certainly. And one final note here before we take our commercial break and hit on some more high school and college notes. How about your Aberdeen Wings? They're off to an 8-1 start. We always talk about being diverse on offense when it comes to volleyball. Well, guess what? The Aberdeen Wings are very diverse offensively as well. Five different goal scorers there on Friday night in a 5-3 victory over the Minnesota Mallards, and then a 3-donut victory over the Mallards there on Saturday. And again, three different goal scorers in that game. So I know it's early, it's super early in the season, but the Wings had never swept the NAHL showcase there in Blaine until this year. And now, a really good start. They're at 8-1, and you know, you got to stay healthy and all that. I get all that.
Yep.
Let's get all the superlatives out, but a really good start for that program.
I really can't be mad at what you've been able to do, 8-1 start. And to your point, too, they're just getting an array of contributions from a lot of different guys. I feel like the Wings last year, they struggled to get ahead of teams. They were playing from behind a good bit, or they'd have a good start and a team would storm back. That's not really the case right now. They're putting the puck in the net, and if they can continue to do that, get some solid goaltending, this is a team to be reckoned with here this year. It just maybe seems like the vibes changed a little bit from this past year to this year as well.
Sure does feel that way. Take another quick break in the action right here and right now. We'll have a very, very brief segment upcoming next and head on some more high school news and notes. Plus, we'll talk some Northern State football, NSIC football there as well. A wild, wild day in the Northern Sun. All of that and more is upcoming next on FSA. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. There were an abundance of high school volleyball, shall we call them meets or tournaments or invites this last weekend. Millbank, they had a tournament. You also had Redfield hosting a tournament. Miller hosted a tournament there as well. Check out hubcityradio.com for full and complete details there, as Miller would defeat Aberdeen Round Collie in the championship matchup there. High school soccer from the weekend. On the boys' A side of things, Vermilion would get past JVC 3-2. Boys' AA title went to Sioux Falls Lincoln over O'Gorman. 4-1 was your final there in the 2 versus 8 pairing. Girls' A title would go to Sioux Falls Christian. They would skunk Groton 1-0 in the 1 versus 2 pairing there. And girls' AA title would go to Harrisburg over Rapid City Stevens 5-0. Your final scores there. Again, check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for full and complete details. Also, the rare Saturday football broadcast, we had it, as Clark Willow Lake would defeat Webster there 18-6. That was on Saturday in Webster, as Ryan Martin was on the play-by-play for that one there. Some college news and notes. Would encourage you to check out our website for all of this stuff. Northern State Soccer going 1-1 over the weekend. Megan Fastenaugh is getting closer and closer to double digits. I looked it up over the weekend. I think she's at 6 now.
Okay.
And you said 10-plus, so 10-plus. It's not out of the realm of possibility. She needs to continue to do her thing. She did find the back of the rope twice in Duluth on Friday night, which definitely helps, as the Wolves beat Duluth there. 2-1 your final score, and then falling to St. Cloud on Sunday. Northern State Swimming and Diving would fall in a try to Moorhead, and also USF. For individual notes, check out our website, hubcityradio.com. And also of note, the Northern State Volleyball Squad, in just this weird, kind of weird, strange, goofy schedule, playing Thursday, Saturday, and of course tomorrow as well. They picked up a Saturday victory up in Minot in straight sets, 16-19 and 11. Abby Brooks and Hannah Thompson each with 8 kills. Kerry Walker, 35 set assists and 11 digs in the victory as well. So if you're going to have this weird, strange schedule, best way to do it is win them all and win them easily and convincingly. They certainly did that on Saturday.
Get there, get the job done, get back home on the bus. I mean, that's what they've been able to do here recently, and You know, it seems like the schedule here, they're at home a lot this week. They got three matches at home starting tomorrow, so that'll be nice to be at home in front of the home crowd and be able to perform against some pretty solid opponents coming up, UMary tomorrow, and then this weekend is it St. Cloud and Duluth, so it should be pretty good there the next three matches there.
It's all at home there at the Barnett Center. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some Northern State football and the NSIC, plus the Dakota marker game goes to the Northsiders rather than the Southsiders, if that makes sense. We'll talk about that and more as time permits. Final segment of your Monday on FSA. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Thanks again for joining us. As the Wolves, they blacked out the SMSU squad during their blackout cancer matchup. They're 41-7, your final score, as the Wolves have now made it four straight dubs. Daniel Britt, for my money, I thought played his best game as a member of the Maroon and Gold. 11 of 18 passing for a buck 26, a touchdown in the air. Also had a touchdown on the ground, and it was a thing of beauty. He made a move in the open field. And there, heck, there might still be a jock strap laying down there. I mean, it was just an amazing move there by Britt, and he finds the promised land there. Hank Kraft, two touchdowns, one receiving, one on the ground there as well. Keegan Mountain, a 55-yard pick six. Jeremy Caruso goes 2 for 2. Gabe Gutierrez, who's just been an absolute dynamo, he's got a pair of sacks there as well, and just everything was clicking for the Wolves on Saturday.
Yeah, it really was. Just a complete team win. And how about Daniel Britt? He's really coming into his own here the last couple weeks with how he's been playing. He's the true dual threat guy that I think everybody now is seeing. He can use his legs to extend plays. He's quite the runner. He's tough as nails.
Yeah,
that's something that noticed to me right away when, you know, even just in the USD game to start the year, just how tough he is. But you're really starting to see what the dual threat kind of quarterback that he is. He's fun to watch. He really is.
He's looking like the guy that I think fans were expecting to see in week one and week two and all that. And now, what do you know? Actually just took some time. Like, can you imagine that with a first-year offensive play caller and a first time in the system? It actually took some time. Can you imagine that? Pretty wild.
Receivers, everything.
Yeah.
Kind of new. And just had to get used to the system. And now you're seeing what this team and what this offense can really do. I mean, this is big time what they've been able to accomplish here. Really is.
Season high in terms of points for the offense and a season low in terms of points allowed. So I get it. SMSU is net world beaters. I totally understand that. But they played hard, and Northern State just kind of put them to bed early. And winners of their last four are the Wolves. And they'll now go on the road to take on CSP, a team that's 2-5, but do not, and I mean do not, look past them. The Golden Bears are a legit program for sure, as Moorhead beat them 34-31. Jack Strand, 35 of 55 for 357 and 5 touchdowns. Brady Perryman with 10 receptions for a buck 13 and 3 scores. Moorhead completed a 4th and 10 on the final drive of the game. They scored, I think it was with 14 seconds left or something like that, to beat CSP. Jackson Compton, 17 carries for 29 yards, 213 yards and 2 scores. But it was all about Jalen Richardson, 36 carries for 198 yards and 2 touchdowns. If the Wolves want to keep this thing rolling, and certainly that's the case on Saturday, if they want to pick up their 5th consecutive victory, which, by the way, would be a new career high, if you will, if you can call it that, for head coach Mike Schmidt. He's had 4-game winning streaks before. But if you want to get to 5 here, public enemy number one is literally number one. Richardson, you have to stop him. If you can keep him under a Hunsky, I think you win.
I think you do win. Make the quarterback Compton try to beat you instead. I mean, he had a nice game there versus Moorhead, but you don't want Jalen Richardson to just go absolutely off. I mean, he's going to get the rock. He's going to get, 36 carries. They're giving him the ball, trying to get him in space and trying to find ways to get him open. But another thing that stands out to me in this game, that Moorhead and CSP game, Jack Strand, no picks. Yeah. 55 throws, no picks. That's impressive. That's a big reason why they came out on top as well. But I'm with you. You're going to have to stop this Richardson guy. He's big time, and they're going to try to get him the ball and try to find ways to get him open. Defense has got to be locked in on him, and I'm sure they will be.
Yeah, no question about that. And when you have to throw against this Northern State defense, I like the Wolves' chances because they've got some really good corners. They've got some safeties that are certainly willing to lower the lumber. Lyndon Williams has played a really, really solid season. Jake Adams, of course, he's got 100 tackles on the year as well. But, you know, passing against this Northern State defense, I like the Wolves' odds.
Yeah, I'd stay away from
number
Mountain
zero.
Island. We hear the term Revis Island. This dude is just clamping down receivers. And another pick six there, just completely jumped the route, timed it perfectly. He is awesome. I mean, we were texting, true sophomore too, which is just incredible, the growth that he's taken. Wow. This secondary, and we've had some of the guys on in the secondary, they're one unit back there. They are playing some good football, and I wouldn't want to pass against that team. That secondary, because they're hunting for interceptions the way they're playing.
Yeah, and you texted me, he's just a ball magnet, and that's a perfect way to describe him. And he's been outstanding. Four picks on the year for him. Augustana was all over Winona, 31-0, your final score there. Jared Epperson ran for a 118. Duluth, they lose their fourth consecutive game. I can't recall the last time that was the case. USF, they just barely clipped them, 24-21. Jacob Eggert got the start there for Duluth because their quarterback Kyle Waljasper got knocked out from the previous matchup with Northern. He was just battered and bruised, and Eggert, he did his thing, but he also threw four picks, and that's going to kill you every single time. But Duluth this season, in their four losses, I mean, they have lost in absolute heartbreaking fashion. They lost to Morehead on the final play of the game. They lost to Northern State literally on the final play of the game. And who was their other loss against?
Augustana.
Augustana was 28-24, so I think that was in the final drive of that game there.
And then this game, right?
And then this game, you lose by three. So, I mean, oh, man, they're 3-4. That's a bad team. No. They're literally a couple plays away from being perfect.
Sometimes, though, those if you don't finish them, it can snowball one after another. And that's kind of what's going on right now. They just haven't been able to get over the hump in those games. And now it's snowballing each week, and it's difficult to play like that every week. You need games like we were talking about that Northern had this past week.
Right there with you, for sure. Check out our website for more details on the NSIC scoreboard as well as the GPAC scoreboard. Jamestown, they downed Dakota State 21-13. Trojans are now 4-3 on the season, and the Dakota Marker game goes to NDSU. They down SDSU in Fargo 13-9. Really good game there.
Yeah, really low scoring. I was watching a little bit of that one, and NDSU with a big-time win versus the two-time defending champs. Big win at home.
Got a late interception there of Mark Gronowski for the win. We're back at it tomorrow on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Colin Cowherd coming up at the top of the hour.